What's up, everybody? Welcome back to In My Non-Expert Opinion. I'm your host, Chelsea Reif, and you're tuning in to our Media Maven series. Today, I sit down with Sarah Faith Gottesdiener, which is the founder of Moon Studio and hosts the podcast Moonbeaming. Go check out her podcast, which I was a recent guest on, especially if you're a creative, intuitive, mystic, or a business owner. The Moon Studio is a creative center for spirituality, beauty, and aligned ways of living. They offer original and innovative programs and products that fill one's heart, mind, and home with inspiration. It's for conscious creatives by conscious creatives. The reason I wanted Sarah on is because I feel like she's a perfect example of someone who's not really just starting out in building their following, but not this huge viral sensation or some guru that you see all over TikTok. For example, Sarah's Instagram, at the time of recording this, has about 87,000 followers. Her podcast has been downloaded over 1.5 million times, and she has a huge newsletter. The Moon Studio has been featured in Well and Good, The New York Times, The Los Angeles Times, and Paper Magazine. So that's why I wanted to talk to Sarah. What is it like to be a business owner that's running a quote-unquote big business, but not necessarily some massive corporation, but not being a scrappy startup either? We have a very candid conversation about if it's worth continuing your business when you're feeling burnt out, about financial instability, negative feedback and online haters, and that's why she is such a great media maven. She is someone that puts herself out there. She's been doing this for a very long time, and to be so cross-channel between writing on her newsletter and creating a podcast and showing up on Instagram, she's someone to me that's very comfortable with visibility, and that's what I wanted to lift the veil behind today. I really think this specific episode is for anyone who feels creatively burnt out, or they have a really big ambition or dream and they don't know how to execute on it, or if you've been feeling going corporate, then you might want to tune in. Sarah of Moon Studio, welcome to In My Non-Expert Opinion. I'm so excited to have you on.
I cannot wait to get to talk to you. I loved our conversation that we had earlier, and I know this is going to be a great one.
One thing that I loved about our conversation is I feel like we just got right to it. And the more and more I get into podcasting, I'm like, I don't really need to know every little piece about your life story. I want to just get to know you right now. And I think I want to bring up something that we were just talking about right before I hit record, where I was telling you, I feel like when I put up this story, I was interviewing you and I told people I was going to interview you, the reaction was like, oh, she's big. Like, she's huge. Like, that's amazing. Congrats. And your face was like contorting into these shapes. Like, what are you talking about? That doesn't resonate. And I feel like there is a disconnect online when we see someone with you that has X amount of followers, you know, thousands and thousands of followers on Instagram. Your podcasts have millions of downloads. It can seem like, oh yeah, of course she knows it about herself, but there's a difference between perception and reality. So I would just love your initial thoughts on that concept, perception versus reality.
Oh yeah, I think that the reason why my face went like, is, I mean, I'll be beyond honest with you, is for basically most of my life running a business, right? Working for myself, working for those that I serve, I have felt really out of any kind of like any of the worlds, wellness. Like, I'm too punk and queer to be in the wellness world. I'm too critical of pop astrology to be accepted in the astrology world. I'm too concerned with social justice to be in the witch world. It feels like I'm so on my own path sometimes that I don't always even understand who might know me or who might not know me. And that's not even really something I think about until maybe like in exchange with you. You know, like, I so see myself as such this very sensitive, very stumbly, figuring it out human being who's just trying to create my own path in the world and listen to my intuition and serve others and be as heart-led and creatively led as I can be. So it's just, yeah, it like, I get rejected all the time. Like, I ask people to collaborate, even invite people to my podcast, which, like you said, yes, it does have millions and millions of downloads. It's often in the top 50. It's completely independent. People won't write me back. Like, people won't, they'll say no all the time. I get rejected all the time. And so I just don't really, like, in my world, not much is different. Like, I mean, there are some differences in terms of I can pay my bills now and my rent. And I know that I'm serving people and helping people, which is one of the foundations of why I started doing what I do. I feel very strongly around teaching people and helping folks. But yeah.
Okay, this really resonates because I'm from a very small town in Florida called Satellite Beach. Like, no one knows where it is. I travel so much that I'm not in the scenes of like New York, LA, Austin, Texas. Like, I'm very disconnected quite physically and literally from these communities. And sometimes I feel that way too, where I'm like floating around and I'm like still figuring it out. I still feel very new in my business. And people are like, no, I admire what you've done. And how did you do this? And I'm like, what? Like, you could see behind the scenes, I think you would laugh at the way I run my business. And so I'm curious, are there things that if someone were to like open your laptop right now or see how you do things that you think they'd be shocked and you just do it so intuitively?
Yeah. I mean, I have screenshots on my desktop from like 2 years ago. That's actually one thing I'm struggling with, to be honest, is I'm very much at a crossroads right now where I need to change a lot of things in my business, and I'm trying to figure out how to change those things. When I get into scarcity mode, I tend to go into all or nothing. So for a while, I was like, oh, I just need to like shut absolutely everything down. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm a little bit in the gray right now. Like, I'm like, well, no, what could I like, you know, change? How much time do I have? That's another thing I think that is a misconception that people will do to other people really easily. I think we do it to people interpersonally and then on a larger scale where they automatically think, oh, this person's fine. Like, oh, this person's doing just great. Like the whole meme of like, check on your strong friends. I'm at a place right now where I'm wondering whether or not I'll be able to continue my business in the same way, right? Like, do I have to completely downsize? Do I have to go freelance again? That may not happen, but I am having those thoughts. I'm having those conversations, as are several of my colleagues who have run businesses for like a decade, who are very well known. Obviously, I'm not going to say any names because I love my friends and it's all confidential. But this year has been one of the hardest years. I'll term like in the middle class kinds of businesses, not huge corporate businesses where everyone knows and they have 500,000 people on their mailing list or 100,000 people on their mailing list and sell $1,000 tickets. But for the kind of more middle class businesses, of which I am one, I do not pay myself more than $100,000 a year. And I have not given myself a raise in like 3-4 years. Like that my level, we might have a couple of employees, some freelancers. This is a very challenging time.
I have a theory of why 2023 seemed harder on these businesses that Sarah's talking about. COVID caused everyone to question their life and start their first business. Remember, everyone wanted to also write a book, start leather work, learn 5 languages. We all had big hopes and dreams and ambitions. I was one of the people that also started a business. And what I found out is starting a business is really freaking hard. Now, add the constant demands for video content, short-form content, and just staying afloat during massive world devastation on top of insane politics affecting everyone's mental health. Well, yeah, no wonder people are burnt out. In a business, you have to think about creating content, marketing, accounting, outreach, lead generation, visibility, and there's a huge pressure to keep up with every new trend and platform. The stability of a consistent paycheck, however, along with benefits, office perks, seeing your coworkers in the office, that's starting to sound more appealing to people. And I think this pressure of constantly feeling like you have to be on every platform posting on a consistent basis, it's causing a lot of business owners to buckle. And I think we finally saw the create your business during COVID bubble pop.
And I am very much wondering, like, do I continue and proceed and have faith that our sales will increase or that we will grow enough to keep going? Or do I shrink? Do I downsize? Do I get really lean? Do I freelance? Do I take time off and recalibrate? The other thing I think people think about other people is like, they have no problems. And like, I have leukemia, I have long COVID, like illness, it doesn't matter really who you are and what you do. Like, chronic illness is a bitch and it's really hard and it's a struggle. When we pedestal people, we dehumanize them. And that severs connection and that severs curiosity. It severs compassion and intimacy. And all I'm ever trying to do with the people in my life and those that I serve and those that I love are to see them as human beings who are complicated, complex, incredible, flawed, like working through it. So yeah, I think that online things can really, I think numbers, vanity metrics can really flatten human beings.
This is such an important conversation to be having that not many people have, is trying in public and pivoting in public and or pivoting in private, right? Like you said, you might be having these conversations more in private and figuring it out, but on the outside, it's still business as usual and things are still going. But inside, you might be like, holy shit, we don't even know what's happening in the next 6 months, maybe not even the next 3 months. And I think to your point, there was this whole video from the School of Life, London, called The Problem with Fame. And they said the reason we want to be famous or big is because we think when we get there, we have no problems. We want adoration. Everyone admires us. We're going to get all these things handed to us. We don't have to pay for things. Like, it just seems like this status of the gods that like we're all aiming to be, but no one understands all the consequences that come with that. Like, you lose privacy. You're adjusting to a new financial level that you've never handled before. Your nervous system is like, what's happening? We're going from small little business to like maybe viral fame. And no one considers that. They just see the plus sides. And I don't know actually that the plus sides always outweigh the negatives. So I'm happy that you're bringing this up, because transparently, it's something I'm also revisiting as well. Like, my podcast started as a creative hobby, and then it kind of turned into a podcast about podcasting, and it wasn't meant to be that way. And so part of me is like, I think I need to start a separate podcast about podcasting, have in my non-expert opinion be this like fun, crazy, wild child that it was before, and then focus on some other projects. But the, you know, my bank account is like, do you really want to do that? Like, a lot of your clients come from your podcasts, and do you really think you should do that? And I just got an Akashic Record reading like a month ago. And she was just saying, yeah, you need to be writing and creating more. But my mind goes to financials. And I'm like, I don't know that I can just give one thing up and financially recover or like afford the financial hit. And so I'm curious, as you're going through this right now, how do you know when to trust your intuition and like immediately act on it versus let's be patient? This is like a year-long project and let's give it the time it needs.
Yes, I love everything you said. I want to echo what you said as well, is like, for many years, I made my living as a psychic tarot reader. And because I live in LA, through word of mouth and the like, I have read for household names. And I feel really blessed and lucky, not only to have them as my clients, but to get to have them as my clients, so I could see that there were issues with that. There is no finish line. There is no, I've landed. As you said, there's a whole other set of issues that come up. And the other thing I will say, and I'm kind of off-roading, but I think it's important to say, because I have taught about this before privately, and I've written about this privately, and I want to start talking more about this publicly. And then I'll go into the intuition, because it flows into it really nicely. If we're talking about manifestation, and we're talking about creation, and we're talking about up-leveling, and we're talking about all the other things that we're supposed to want in the United States or Canada or in the West or whatever, right? If our trauma has not been healed or addressed or been able to be managed, that trauma will flare up. Things will happen that will trigger that trauma. It can sometimes create a kind of domino and can blow up. It's like how a lot of people say, and I actually do believe this, that money is an amplifier. It will amplify what's really awesome about you, and it will amplify what might need to be looked at or where you might make certain choices recklessly or from a wound or from vanity or whatever. So in business, it's kind of similar, because we're thinking about growth, and we can very much get caught up in fear and ego. It's this dance between risk and safety, safety and risk. And I think for me now versus when I was first starting my business, because I know that my capacity is different, because I have a chronic illness, I have to think about things in a different way. And I think whenever we come to these choice points, as many of us are in this year is a major choice point.
When Sarah's talking about a choice point, what she's really saying is making decisions. Fun fact, the definition of decision actually has Latin roots. The meaning of the word decide comes from the Latin word decidere, which is a combination of two words, d, which equals off, and cedere, equals cut. So when you're cutting something off, it will naturally force you to focus on the thing you didn't cut off, right? I think that's what Sarah's really getting to here. We need to start cutting things off to carry a lighter load.
Even if we don't make the choice this year, next year we will make a choice or several larger / smaller choices that came from the back and forth of this year. For many people, it felt like one step forward, two steps back. For many people, it felt like spinning wheels. For many of us, we were doing a lot of internal work. And so it felt like we didn't get traction because a lot of stuff was coming up, whether it was shame or fear or whatever, right? And we're like, I'm not moving, but that's not true. Like things are coming up. And then the more that we engage with them and integrate them, the more we are repairing and the more we are healing. Like I know one thing I can say about this year is almost none of my, in quote, goals happened externally, but I have offloaded so much shame this year. I'm like, oh, I could not be having this conversation with you probably 2 years ago. I would have probably felt too raw, too private, but to be in process and to talk about where I'm at means I don't have shame about where I am and where I've been and what I'm doing. So in terms of intuition, I am of the mind that we have to create the conditions for our intuition to flourish. So what that means is taking away distractions. What that means is really taking care of the body, getting enough rest, and really tuning into the body, to the heart, to the gut, to the visions, to the dreams, and as best as one can, move forward in that. I think that a lot of our choice points moving forward this year into 2024, I know because of the themes of the year, are going to have to be made from the heart. Intuition as being heart-centered and heart-led. And of course, that brings us back to the inner child, right? The inner child and the inner teen. Those things that you really love to do when time stopped, when you something you could do forever, what you were interested in, what lit you up, what feels like play. These are the kinds of activities we're gonna be wanting to move towards. And the more that we can do that off the clock, like, because that's another thing I've been talking to a lot of people about is like flow states. And one pattern that has come up with a lot of creatives I've been speaking to, and I know this is your listener, like everyone listening to your podcast is a creative. We've created these jobs or we're creative in jobs, and it kind of has squished the creativity out of it. Even when we ourselves are like, no, this is what I said I wanted to do 3 years ago, or like, wait, I'm making a living off my creativity. So the advice I've been giving people I've been giving readings for and clients I've seen and people in my classes and what I've been trying to do, this is on the tip of intuition, is creating flow states as much as possible off the clock, whether it's cooking or in yoga or just taking a walk in nature without your phone or whatever for an hour or two, to get your body, the nervous system in tune with those kinds of states. Which is another theme of the year, which goes into intuition, which is that in order for us to be in service to our intuition, we have to build our capacity. And a lot of our capacities, I don't think yours, because you've been traveling and you are so adventurous, but definitely mine, definitely people I've spoken to, our capacities are like tiny little, you know, because they really shrank. Our distress tolerances are really, really low. So we have to start building those back up again if we want to be trauma-informed, nervous system-informed, like inner child safety-informed as we move forward. Because often our intuition is going to lead us into risk. Our intuition is going to lead us into fear. It's like, you got to look at everything you've been afraid to do in your life. I mean, again, you're great at that. Like, you can give us all pointers. You should definitely teach a class on that I would take. But I know that the moments in my life when I look back where the biggest leaps, the biggest growth happened, it was totally when I was taking risks. It was totally when there were more reasons not to do something logically than there was to do something. Like, when I started my business, people close to me even were like, what are you doing? They had no idea what I was doing. To this day, people are like, what do you, like some of my partner's friends are like, what does she even do? People are like, what? And if I had listened to those voices inside and externally, you know, I wouldn't have done what I was able to do. So I think these are all things we have to be talking about and thinking about. We want to be building our trust muscles as well. And that, I think, is like the last piece of intuition. There's more and more and more, but that trust piece of self-trust. And for each person listening, that will look different. In one of my classes called Embodying Abundance, which is very much about this, I give people the idea, the exercise called the Tiny Bold Promise. And what that is every day you think of something you want to do for yourself, whether it's just a half hour alone meditating or 20 minutes in the morning journaling or whatever it is that you're going to do that you know is going to be really nourishing and helpful to you. And you do that over and over. And then in 30 days, you have this evidence that it's okay to put yourself first and it's okay for you to trust yourself because you've done it and you've done it and you've done it. And then you expand that out over and over and over because trust is this key part of intuition. I think that in New Age spirituality, there is this idea that if you follow your intuition, everything's going to be rainbows, everything's going to be dandy. And that's just not how it works at all. Often there are roadblocks, often there are challenges. Often relationships have to be reconfigured or stepped away from. Often you're like, what the hell am I doing again? What? Because you're creating a way out of no way. You're figuring it out as you go. You're creating the path as you walk it. And that is so confronting to our ego, to our logical mind, and to like society, quite frankly.
Oh my gosh. You just literally gave us a treasure chest of gold. And I want to like pick some of those jewels out. And one thing that you said was the capacity piece that has for me been affected this year. And now a big piece of how I travel is making space for myself to think and reflect. So before I was here in Bucharest, I was in a little tiny isolated beach town in Albania on purpose. I was like, I don't want to talk to anyone, no new friends. I don't want to be socializing. Like, I literally want complete silence for as long as I can possibly manage it, because I needed that time to be like, hold on, like, where is this train going? And that's something that you said that it is something that I'm probably actively working on, and people listening is like, you finally build your business and you're like, it's in the topic or field that I love to talk about. This is incredible. Like, finally realizing my dreams. And then sometimes it feels like you created this bullet train that you can't get off of. And you're like, well, I have like people on the team now, and we set this whole funnel up and we developed this whole website based on this thing. So now it feels crazy to shut it down. And I'm curious, like, has there been a point in your business where, I guess you could almost call it like the tower card, where like, this needs to be literally crumbled to the ground and rebuilt? Or have you helped people through that?
This is another thing I'm so glad you brought up. I am so glad you brought up, because we have been taught as business owners to do business in a type of way. Those type of ways include MRR, monthly recurring revenue, which could be a membership. It's usually a membership, which I'm like a hell no to. For me, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do a membership. So many coaches or other business people I know are like, you got to have a membership. Where's your membership? The thing about me also in my business is like, I don't want to do something just because I know it would make me money. That feels really cheap. It feels like not in alignment, not in resonance with me. And this is something I think we have to talk about as creatives, is we have to be working within our true natures. And for some people, people who are maybe more neurotypical, for some people who maybe don't care as much about how they're making money and do just want to do the plug and play, here's how you make X amount. Because you can make $10,000 a month, not easily, but there's a formula to it and you can do it, right? You punch in the numbers, you figure out that, right? Like that can absolutely happen, especially now. But for a lot of creatives who are constantly evolving, we create something and then our spirit, our creative drive is like, well, what next? I want the next thing. I want a new challenge. I want to grow. I want to explore something different. There hasn't really been a lot of more like mainstream talk or acceptable talk, I think, about that piece in business. It's more like the artist, but even artists sometimes can get trapped in doing one thing over and over because that's how they think they're going to make money. So I think that's really important to note, because I'm in that season right now where I am like, okay, what do I let go of? What do I change? What I created that became really popular in my business was a series of lunar workbooks called Many Moons. And so for 3 years, I wrote and self-published two of these a year, and they were like wildly successful. And spirit, this is like where I sound like I'm like, you know, have a tinfoil hat. I assure you, gentle listener, I do not have a tinfoil hat on right now. But spirit told me, hey, you're going to do this for 3 years and then it's done. And I stopped that. And I created something else. I created the planner that is also very beloved. But a lot of people were upset and a lot of people like left. You know, like I lost a lot of sales. I lost a lot of clients from stopping this very popular project that had a shelf life from the jump. And very similarly, is that a word? When I checked in on my podcast, my intuition, my future self, whatever you want to call it, is like, when you run out of people you want to talk to, or when you run out of topics, you'll quit. Like, you don't have to do this forever. Like, you'll quit, or it will change, or just like keep listening. And that, I think, is the struggle of creative people, of heart-centered people, of intuitive people. And it's what a lot of people don't talk about in business, which is that you're going to be changing things. You're going to be letting go of things. You're going to be letting go of things that people are like, you're insane. Like, why are you letting go of a quarter of your income or whatever? Because it doesn't feel aligned anymore. And that can feel really jarring and it can feel really hard and really difficult, but it is usually what happens. And when you look over the course of people's lives, whether they're writers or artists or inventors or even certain businesses' lives, you see it. You know, you see the different evolutions. And as one of my mentors told me last week, because I think we're a death phobic culture, there's this idea that everything has to last forever. And there's this idea that your business isn't successful if it doesn't go on forever in a certain way. And that just isn't the truth. Like, any business that puts things out into the world that make the world a better place, that the founder or the creator of the business gets to use their expertise and make something out of nothing and offer it to the world and see a vision through, that's a success, you know? It's not necessarily length. It's how we have to start redefining and defining success for ourselves. I was speaking with a friend of mine who's a business owner, and she came from very little, similar to me. And we were realizing we were being so hard on ourselves because sales are not robust this year. But still, we're going to make a profit. We're not going to end like below the line, but it's been a really rough year. And we were commiserating about it. And then we both realized how hard we were being on ourselves and how there was that internalized corporate, like tech bro, like, well, if you're not making millions of dollars and if you're not growing at any rate, and we were like, wait a minute. We haven't taken out loans. We might have to downsize some things, but like we're still operating. Why are we carrying this inner critic around what we're doing? And it's because we're taught to always be optimizing and always be go, 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 and always be growing at this, quite frankly, for a lot of people, unsustainable rate. And we internalize that too. And so that's something I've been thinking a lot about around like, look, like we're going back to perception, like what looks good versus what feels good. And I know, Chelsea, you've probably spoken to people who on one end, things look really great, but the creator is like exhausted, or they're like, don't know what to do, or, you know, like it. And I think that it can really trap us, you know, so we have to be really mindful of it. And that's where that trust and that intuition and that heart-centeredness and that creativity and that humanity has to like enter in.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good point about the way we look at business is like, it's successful if you hit the $1 million mark, if you cross the 5-year line, 10-year line. And it's also like, that is very, if you think about it, kind of like boomer mentality of like, yeah, you stay in a job for 40 years and you build and build and build. And to your point, creatives, most of us are motivated by creative output and realizing our ideas into physical form. And this has come up for me too, where you were just talking about products physically. For years, I wanted to create a card deck, a planner, like even because I travel, like passport holders, like I have so many things I want to create. But my brain and, you know, my logic is like, you have a podcasting consulting business. Like, where is a random card deck going to come in? Like, I literally start thinking about my website. I'm like, what are they going to like click on podcast consulting and then jump over to buy a planner and then, you know, buy a passport? Like, my mind can't wrap my head around it. Even though I see examples of people doing this all the time where they're like, yeah, I have a million things going on, and they keep branching out and branching out. And I think it's important when you said that thing about death phobia, if you are a spiritual person and you have any, like, I don't know, belief in your life flashes before your eyes, or you get one more shot to like take stock of what you did with your life, I always think of that. And I'm like, do I want to look back on my life and be like, oh, I just did podcast consulting for 40 years just because it was like the right thing to do, even though maybe 30 years before that, I probably would have shut it down. And it's like, no, I want to go. We talked about this on your podcast. I want to go to culinary school, just go to culinary school. I want to write a book. I want to create a planner. But I think what it comes down to is online business has taught us niche down, be specific, solve a specific problem for a specific person. And so for people that are creative, that like to spin all these plates in the air, at least for me, it comes off like we're being non-committal or wishy-washy, and that our audience maybe can't trust us to like see things through because we're like, never mind, I did it. I'm shutting it down. Now I'm moving to this. And that's how I feel, at least, that I'm like coming off wishy-washy. I think I also feel this a lot because I'm a reflector. And so I definitely have a lot of like shape-shifting chameleon energy where I'm like, am I confusing people? I'm just curious your thoughts on that. Like, especially when you let go of one of those income streams and jump to the other thing, you know, what were you going through internally? And how did you soothe yourself to be like, we're going to be okay. Like, we can trust ourselves.
Oh gosh, what a rich, 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 rich question. I love all of this. First, I will say on the topic of death, death is what gave birth to my business. So long story long, I'll shorten it into 65 seconds. So I have bone leukemia. It's very rare. It's called myelofibrosis, which means basically it translates to like tumors in your bones. And in my late 20s, I realized there was something wrong with me. I got misdiagnosed. I tried to get diagnosed for 7 years. One of the major symptoms of it is permanent anemia. Like there's no amount of iron. There's no amount of, you know, liver, like I can eat. I am fatigued. I first went to the doctor because I thought I had mono. That's what started it. I was like, something's wrong. I have mono. I have no energy. Fast forward to 7 years of like going to doctors, paying thousands of dollars. I finally got the diagnosis. And the doctor, God bless him, looked at me and said, you need to get your affairs in order. I was 30, maybe I was like 33. And up until that point, I had been adjuncting as a professor. That was my dream. I had been freelancing graphic design. I got my degree in design. I wanted to teach design and art in universities. I was making almost no money. I was working all the time. And that was my wake-up call. I was like, I might be dead. I don't know. Nothing is, tomorrow is no longer promised. And I got the message and started getting intuitive downloads to create the business that has sustained me for however long, 11, 12 years, something like that, 10-ish years. I don't know. Time, it's been so weird. So I'm in another similar space. Not that I think, oh, I'm going to die, but getting long COVID, which has drastically reduced my capacity, has me looking at these finite resources that we have, which is time and energy. I think a lot of people confuse money with a finite resource, and it just isn't. Like, we can always make more money. We can always get jobs. I've been even thinking about, do I want to get a job? Like, what could I get a job doing? Like, who would hire me? I'm like intrigued of like what that could be like, because partially one of the missing things from my life as I'm like doing this, like taking stock, I haven't told anyone this, is I kind of like want a career. Like I look at my friends who have a laid out path or certain options within their path, and I'm envious of that. And to me, envious is like the ping of like, oh, okay. Like I want to feel like I have colleagues and I want to feel like I'm building something and I want to feel like more of a community in a way, or I want to like have a more structured career. And sometimes I have felt in my business that I'm on this nebulous kind of like, is it about making next quarter's like income? Is it about like, what is it about? And so I'm viewing it through that lens. But to your point, Chelsea, I think we have to think about what would I regret not doing and not trying? Because everything we try in our business is an experiment, even if it is a safe experiment, even if it is the safest experiment in the world, it still is an experiment every time we put something else out there. And so for me, I also think at that point when I let go of a large income stream, A, there were other things I wanted to do. I really wanted to teach. And so I focused on online teaching for that time period, which has been really beautiful and really wonderful and really growthful internally and like externally. It's led me to meet some of the most like wonderful, heart-centered, intuitive, compassionate people. It's like absolutely incredible. There were other things I wanted to do. And I'm at this place now where I highly recommend, if other folks are at this place along with me, which I know a lot of you are, to write down things you've always kind of wanted to create and things you've always wanted to make and try to make them over time to the best of your ability. That's where I'm at too. I'm like, okay, well, what have I always wanted to teach? What have I always wanted to make and create?
What have you always wanted to teach or create?
For me, I go back and forth between wanting to teach people how to become better storytellers and interviewers, which is why I created video courses on my site. But there's also things I want to create that have nothing to do with my business. I want to create a travel card deck, an invention for pool floaties that I'm definitely keeping private because it's a $1 million idea, a journal, a planner, better travel equipment, especially to help us sleep on airplanes. The list is endless. But for now, I'm focused on my podcast and writing. You're seeing these experiments in real time, like this specific voiceover, adding color commentary, doing series, doing more video marketing. I wasn't doing any of these things in 2023, and 2024, I wanted to see what it felt like to shake things up. So again, what do you want to teach, create, or be? You're allowed to experiment in your business and try on different hats.
What, like, because they're similar to you, there are things 5-6 years ago I've wanted to make for ages. I have this whole series of workbooks I've wanted to do, you know, like, so I'm like, okay, do I do that? And that's where the intuition comes in, and that's where the capacity comes in, and that's where the creative piece comes in. So there is always something that comes after the thing you let go of. It's not always as smooth as we would like. Sometimes there's a lot of heartbreak. Yes, sometimes maybe there's a loss, and that's just all kind of part of it, right?
My listeners are probably sick of me talking about that book, 4,000 Weeks, but I think it just, it does such a good example of showing you how to manage your time. I mean, the tag of it is time management for mortals, because it's telling us, like, you are not going to get to do every little tiny thing you want in your life. So, like, essentially pick a few things and, like, monotask on them and do them and then move on to the next thing. Like, yeah, like, write the book. And then know that after you write the book, you're probably going to do something else. And then maybe you learn how to surf. Okay, now you learn how to surf. What's next? But I think business owners and creatives, we're pretty good at multitasking and managing a lot of things. Like, you have your podcast, you have your website, you have your workbooks, you have your Instagram. And I think it can feel like, well, I could do all the, like, I could go to culinary school and write a book and keep my podcast business and create a card deck. But it's just the capacity. It's like, do I want to be busy all day long and not have time to actually sit back and live and, like, enjoy the fruits of my labor? This was something that really hit me in early 2023, was we all usually want more money to do things we love and have more space in our schedules. Like, oh, if I had more money, I would take Fridays off. I would finally book that workshop. I would buy my family better presents. I would whatever. And this hit me in Cape Town, where I'm like, you're pretty much doing all those things. So why would you go run back to your laptop to, like, grind and try to sell, like, another spot to your course and do all these things just to say, like, oh, I hit the 500, you know what I mean? Like, these, again, like, random milestones that we deem successful, which it's so funny too, because it's all relative, right? Like, to some people, $100,000 is, like, sky high, like, the biggest thing they could ever dream of. And some people, it's like, oh, that's a little tiny business. Like, it's all so relative. And something that I want to ask you is, when you were talking about how we do have to let some things go and essentially make space for the new, I think what pops up in people's head, and maybe I'm assuming, so I'll speak from the eye, is that we're actually going to get, like, negative feedback or pushback. And I know you said when you stopped the many moons and then you kind of, like, you know, some people didn't follow you. Did you get any actual, like, negative emails or DMs where people are like, what are you doing? Like, this is disappointing, because I think what humans really think, that we're going to get this influx of hate and negativity and not be able to handle it. And that's what scares a lot of us from pivoting, because we're like, I don't want to deal with the negative backlash or disappointing. It's a big people pleaser thing. And I'm just curious how you've handled that.
I have received negative feedback for things I've said, things I haven't said, the way I've said certain things. I mean, I have always encountered the experience of either not being enough, being too much. For years, it was pretty incessant. For years, it really bothered me. Like, when I say it really bothered me, I mean therapy bothered me. But this is the piece about trauma. I came from a background where I was publicly humiliated. Like, I had one parental figure who would humiliate me publicly, even into adulthood, right? So because I had that wound, anytime it happened in a public fashion, it would kind of, like, re-trigger the wound. And it's not that I think these things happen to help us heal. I'm not one of those, but I do think we have a choice. We can either like let negative feedback totally destroy us, or we can see what's there. Like, well, what's there for me? Is my ego that fragile that incessant critical feedback is like that wounding to me? And for me, it was absolutely a lot of inner child work, because when I interrogated it, it was very much confusion. And whenever we have like confusion and it feels young, to me, that's inner child. The inner child part of me was so confused, knowing my intention and knowing what I'm trying to do and getting negative feedback. There was a lot of material there for me to work through. I also think that is also similar to not talking about more behind the scenes thing. That is something that happens pretty regularly with small business owners. And at the risk of getting negative feedback of what I'm going to say, women small business owners, women small business owners, you have to be like, we're basically not forced, but we're very coerced to be people pleasers, to not be too much, to not have certain opinions, to not like, it's like the Barbie speech, you know, it's like, well, we want to be making a decent income, so we're hashtag abundant, but we can't be hashtag balling, and we can't be too unapproachable, because then everyone around us will be jealous, or like we'll feel distanced. Like, but we can't be going through it. We can't be like going through a really hard time with our private life or with an illness, because then we're repulsive and we're not good enough. And like wellness indoctrination and spirit, like new age spirituality is like, well, if there's something wrong, like physically, or if your like dog died, that means your spirit isn't okay. So you're like, you can't just be a human being going through the messy middle. There's all of these projections that have been put on us by the patriarchy that fellow women internalize, and whiteness, I would say, right? And capitalism, like that we then internalize and we then project on other women. The awesome thing about getting criticism and getting negative feedback for like 10 years, basically, one, I feel really blessed that I have a studio manager who reads absolutely everything first. And if it's really nasty, she just deletes it.
I run my own social accounts and I don't prioritize Instagram. And I feel lucky because at the time of recording this, I've never gotten berated with nasty comments. Who knows? Maybe one day it's coming. But right now, I think my following is small enough that I don't have strangers lurking. And I think people that follow me are curious, interested, or just scrolling by. However, I also think it's because I'm not super defensive in my content. I always tell people to leave me feedback, DM me, email me, let's have a conversation. I'm open to hearing what people have to say. And I think because my tone isn't super defensive, or I'm someone who's just like refusing to apologize for things, my listeners and followers generally don't try to poke or prod me because I'm receptive. I don't know. What do you think? Have you received nasty comments before? How did you deal with it? The one that I did get, I just deleted it because they were a random person with no profile picture and zero followers, and I just moved on. However, had it been someone that had followed me for a while and supported my work, and I constantly saw them in my DMs or that they read my emails, like they were just more in my world, then I would definitely be open to hearing what they had to say. But yeah, random trolls, I don't know, I just delete them. I'd love to hear how others handle it. So let me know what you think, or if you know how others do it.
So I don't feel insane. You know, like to have someone who can check that and be like, yo, that was so horrible. Like, what was going on there? That's the other thing. It has two things. It has both widened my compassion for people, because I'm like, whoa, if you're talking to me, a stranger who you've never met that way, how do you talk to yourself? How do you talk to your dog? Do you talk to your partner like that you lay down and sleep with every night like that? Like it's very like heart widening to be like, wow, people really misplace a lot of their stuff. It's shown me how unconscious people are. Like they're really not being conscious when you write that email. I'm like, wow. You know, I don't even let those thoughts get past my brain. I'm like, hey, like, let's clean that thought up. That's not a very positive or helpful thought, right? So there's that. And then there's this other piece that's been really useful to me. Once I healed all the inner child stuff and stopped making it all about me, which was, regardless of the tone, regardless of the nastiness, regardless of whatever was said, I clear that all away. And this is not for every message, but this is if there is, say, unasked for feedback, which is like rampant and online. I'm like, well, I actually didn't ask for feedback around that, but you're giving it to me anyway. Is this useful? Is there something in this that actually, well, you know, we could try to figure out how to make shipping cheaper. Or you know what? Like, that is actually a good point. Moving forward, let's try to figure that out. I've tried to see, like, is there something in there for me or my team or my business that can help us grow, that can help us be more of service, that can like help us help other people or be more inclusive or whatever it may be. And that has also really helped me transform any kind of feedback. And the other thing I want to say on feedback, and then I will stop, is as someone who has gotten feedback for a very long time, very rarely have I asked for it. We do surveys and stuff, but you know, people truly write you when they have such overwhelming emotion and those emotions are extreme. So you're going to hear from the people who think they cannot stand you, and you're going to hear from your like super ride or die people. You're not often going to hear from people that are like, love what you do, buy what you do, listen to every podcast episode, or maybe all of them. Like, you're not going to hear from those people usually, right? Maybe once in a while. But you have to also remember, you're always getting the extremes of projections or of how you've influenced and impacted another person. And that's why I think it is important to look for the nuggets of truth, because I want to see things clearly. I don't want to be operating out of defensiveness. I always want to be doing better. And so I welcome it if it is constructive, or I look for any kind of constructiveness in there. But again, if we're creatives, we have to be making decisions that feel good for us. And we have been so conditioned to want to please everyone. We have to check ourselves when we're making decisions within our business, because that can lead to a lot of self-betrayal, and that can lead to a lot of resentment. And we can then over time become to resent those we are serving, but they're not even really doing anything. It's like we're projecting on them back, right? So we have to be like, well, will they leave or will they dislike me? Maybe they will. But if one of the points we have here are to evolve and grow and show up as our authentic self, and to steward ourselves in doing so, you know, we can't be terrified of hurting someone's feelings or leaving someone behind, or, you know, so on and so forth.
Such a good point too about leaving someone behind, because everything has a life cycle, right? Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Everything, an idea, a plant, our lives, like everything has this life cycle, including our offers, our ideas, our businesses. And it can feel like that, what you just said, I'm leaving my original people behind if I pivot this way, and they're going to be mad. So I'm just not going to do that. And I'm going to stay in this one spot and just make them happy. But here's a reframe that might help people, because it helped me recently, was every time I'm doing something to people please because I think I'm avoiding feedback, there is probably actually a group of people silently thinking in their head or texting their friends being like, I wish Chelsea would change things up. I wish she would actually go the other way. I wish she would pivot. Like, you know what I mean? There might be people talking shit about you for the thing that you wish you were doing. And you think, oh, I'm keeping it cool, I'm not rocking the boat. When in reality, people are like, what is your next step? Like, we're ready for that evolution. I also think a lot of negative feedback comes because people think they're talking to like a character, you know what I mean? Like, they forget that you are picking up your phone and opening Instagram. And I think this is where celebrity and influencer culture started to like mess things up a little bit. Because, for example, if I go write on like Margot Robbie's posts, it's like, I know she's not going to be like, hey, girl, thanks. And that's how sometimes we think it's going to, like, I think people write on to us that way, thinking like, we don't check our messages. We don't look at them. It's someone else. It's a team member. And it's like, no, we're picking up the phone and looking at these things. So just a reminder, when you guys are leaving feedback or comments, it's usually the business owner that is going to take a stab at it and read it and be like, I'm going to respond in this way. There was also something you said too about women and having the people-pleasing personality because of the environment that we're in. It's so interesting because I never used to work with men. And recently this past year, I was like, it wasn't really a cognizant, like, out there choice. It was just like everyone I attracted was women. And this year I was like, I'm going to start working with some men. You know, when you find something out and you can't stop noticing it, I would get on calls with these guys, and I'm not exaggerating at all. I do love to exaggerate, but I'm not exaggerating. They would refer to their work literally like this. I think what I'm doing is the best in the world right now, and I want to make sure people are seeing it. I'm positive my podcast could be number one on the planet. So how do we get there? I'm convinced that everything I'm doing is world class. So how do we make sure more people know? And I'm like, what? Jaw on the ground. Like, I have never in my life heard someone talk about their own work as best on the planet, world class, etc. Where then I would get on discovery calls with women or help them with their podcast. And it's like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I have a PhD and I've been studying for years and I went to school, but like, who's going to listen to me? And like, does that really matter? And I'm not the best. And I'm like, I wish we could even take an ounce of that delusion, to be quite honest, that men have, and no one pushes back. No one says anything. I didn't hang up the call when he said that. If anything, I was like, wow, he really believes this. Like, there's no irony in here. He truly believes his work is number one in the world. For women, like, it translates into our work. We do hold ourselves back because, yeah, we don't want people to be mad at us or whatever. And to be quite honest, I've started to listen to like a few more male podcasters to just see, how are they even dealing with this negative backlash? And I just heard one guy and he was like, I don't give a fuck about the negative reviews. Like, some random person on the street is going to write a review on our podcast. Like, okay, thanks. Bye. Like, what a waste of your time to do that. And he was just like, basically the train is moving, whether you want to jump on it or not. Not sure if that's always the best idea. Keep in mind, there's context here, right? They're like comedian and you know, their podcast is meant to be a little snarky, et cetera. But the fact that he's like, I don't even read these stupid reviews. Like, this is not even worth my time. I was like, this is a page we all should be taking out of this book. It's like, here's the train I built. You can join me or not.
Yeah, of course. Women, if I were to be like, my podcast, it's the best spiritual podcast, that would not go over well. You know, like, I just don't think it would, right? And that's, yeah, I love that point. I think it's a great point. I think it's a great counterpoint. I think we're always having to check our context, as you so beautifully said. But that's also, I think it's like such a nice place to maybe wrap up for folks like thinking about what they want to do with their business or their creative life. That's what I'm moving towards. Not the train is moving and you can like jump off if you want. It's more like, I'm like, okay, what are the things that make me feel alive? What are the things I want to, what are the topics I want to immerse myself in? What do I want? For me, I'm thinking a lot of for the next year, what do I want to learn, whether it be technical or, so a lot of my classes that I teach everything from emotional alchemy to intuition to abundance. And there's always a somatic, energetic, magical piece to all of it. What energetic techniques do I want to learn so that I can then show them to my students and we can play around with that? You know, what do I want to get better at spiritually or psychically or creatively? These are the kinds of questions I think we can ask ourselves, because it really does. We've been, as women, we've been so conditioned to look to the other for feedback. And then it's heightened in business, right? And I think we have to really like tune in with ourselves and delight ourselves. And I will say again, to like end, I know we're almost at time. A couple years ago, I decided I wanted to be the best teacher and facilitator I could be within the confines of what. And I think I did that. And part of it for me was understanding that I had to enjoy the experience of it as much as the students taking it. So it was like, well, what would I enjoy? What feels fun to me? What are we going to do? How do I want to feel when I'm doing this thing? And by working on that or integrating those questions into action, my teaching just got a lot better. It just, people got more out of it. It was funner. I got much better feedback from my students, and people who had been with me for years were like, wow, your workshops just get better and better. And they weren't like, it helped them and they stayed with me. And I was like, thank you. Yeah. I used to be like at a B minus and now I'm feeling like I'm at an A minus. Like it felt great to like get that feedback. And a lot of it had to do with letting go of what I thought I should be doing, showing up more as a human, putting more fun and growth and interesting things into what I was doing and going from there. And we can always do that in our businesses or in our relationships or in our everyday. And that's what I really like in 2024. I do not want to forget that, like for one day. I want to have part of my day every day be in that zone of play or fun experiences or what I'm learning technically or, you know, energetically. And that way you can't really fail. Like there's like, yeah, maybe you don't make money or maybe some people don't necessarily understand what you're doing. But as you said, with the 4,000 weeks, like we got to be intentional. And that intention, I think, has to be led by our intuition, by joy, by play, by spirit, by inner child. So we can always try to do that more.
If you started following me in late 2022 or early 2023, you know I put a huge emphasis on leisure. So much so that I started tracking it. Yes, really. Anything in my calendar that's yellow is leisure, and I usually put that first in my calendar. Then I plan my meetings around it. I feel like if you're a creator, thinking, reflecting, and daydreaming is part of your job. You need time to marinate on things and let them digest. And the only way to do that is by quieting your mind. It's why I personally love beach days and swimming and doing absolutely nothing. I love going on long walks. And I also love playtime because a bright, energetic, calm nervous system is better equipped to access different info and ideas. Think about it. When you're scared and you're in fear and you're under pressure and you're comparing and obsessing and blah, 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 totally spiraling, it's really hard to be creative. This is why I don't think leisure is being lazy. It's imperative if you're any kind of creator. Schedule it, enjoy it, and relax.
I think a practical tip for anyone listening too is if you want to like get into more of this childlike state of wonder and awe and curiosity is like try to set yourself up financially to take that break. Because if we're really digging down, the fear is I'm going to lose my audience or listeners, which is going to affect my bank account. Then I'm going to be broke. Then I'm going to have to take out a credit card. Then I'm going to be living on my parents' couch. Then I'm going to get home. You know, like we go into this tailspin of what could happen where I actually think if you set yourself up to be like, I'm going to save a certain amount of money so I can take like a month off or 3 months off and play and create, you wouldn't feel this fear to like displease people and be and actually be okay with it. It's something I'm still learning, but it reminds me too of a quote that was like, your business gets to be the utopia that you want to see in the world. So it's like, if you would like to be in a bubble where people are like pivoting and playground energy and like having fun and throwing paint on the wall, it's like, do that. Create that space in your business and call it the playground. You know what I mean? Hey, every week we come and work on an art project. Like that can be your business. And so I love that quote. And I think you've done such an excellent job of creating your utopia. And I have one final question. I ask all my guests this. This podcast is called In My Non-Expert Opinion. So what is something you're not an expert in that you wish that you were?
I wish I was more flexible, adept, and better at transitions.
Amen. Amazing. Well, Sarah, this has been such a rich, deep conversation. I know people are going to want to know how to get in touch with you. So where can we find you?
You can always find us at moon-studio.co. And there you can sign up for our newsletter. That's always the best way to keep in touch. I also have a podcast that's pretty good, if I do say so myself, and it's called Moonbeaming. And you can listen in wherever you get your podcasts.
Number one podcast on the planet. Let's just start throwing that energy out there.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming on In My Non-Expert Opinion. And for everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to go support Sarah's work. You can find all the links and offerings in the show notes. And while you're at it, head to my Substack, Slight Turbulence, to read my writing about travel, love, lust, and everything in between.
You can support this podcast by sharing it in all your group chats, Instagram stories, tagging Sarah and I, and maybe pop it in your newsletter or shout it out on your podcast. Anything helps, and I notice it all. Consider leaving a written review on Apple Podcasts and engaging with the interactive polls on Spotify. I choose a winner every single month to do a one-on-one session with me. Go to Apple Podcasts and scroll down to the section where it says write a review, leave your review, screenshot it, and then send it to info@chelseareif.com or DM me @chelseareif on Instagram. This podcast is completely free without ads, so your support, financial, or words of affirmation is the ultimate gift. You can consider supporting financially at the link in the show notes or subscribing to my Substack, Slight Turbulence. Thank you again so much for listening, and remember, your story matters, expert or not.